We're called to order this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission for Wednesday, August 9th, 2017. Before we do the pledge, if you do the favor of turning off your cell phones or setting them on stun, and please rise and let's say the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, will you call roll, please?
Here.
Here.
Present.
Here.
Present.
Present. All right, let's roll. Approval of the minutes from July 26, 2017. Any modifications, corrections, motions? What say you?
Mr. Chair, I make recommendations to approve the minutes as presented.
Here's a motion. Any second?
Second.
And a second discussion? Be there none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? There for all to see. Next up is Chairman's report. It's me. Happy summer. One of the things we always like to talk about are the greenish, brownish pictures of what happened in 2008 along this federal flood control project when deferred maintenance isn't taken into consideration. We have a $275 million man-made structure that needs ongoing maintenance. If not, things like that are going to happen. Obviously, this is a project that deals with Mother Nature. If you get 10 gallons of water in a 5-gallon bucket, you're going to have some challenges. However, what we can say is that we're far better prepared now than we were prior to the events of September 2008 with the organization of the commission and the work that was done from a lot of people in our community to be able to get the additional funding to make sure something like what happened in September 2008 doesn't happen again. By the events that occurred and the large group of people involved, we were able to remove over 1,400 property owners out of having to pay mandatory flood insurance policies as a part of their mortgage, putting at least $4 million annually back into the community. And that's what I consider an economic development project. So that being said, this never stops. You shouldn't read about it in the paper. These are things that are just basic infrastructure type of things that if they don't work, a lot of the other things that get a lot more flash and attention won't happen. So enough of my diatribe. Moving along is finance report with the approval of the claims from August 2017. We need a motion to do that and talk about that.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we approve the claims from August in the amount of $446,415.88.
Is that the revised number?
Sorry.
050. Not 450.
There you go, Ben.
$446,015.88.
There's the motion. Second.
Second.
Mr. Repay.
So as we always do, we'll go over some of the higher numbers first. We'll start with the Kennedy Avenue Bridge, $37,916. As I said 2 weeks ago at our meeting in Lake Station, that is going forward, very likely being bid out in the late summer of 18. Harrison is also on that. We've received actually the preliminary design for nearly $7,000, and that has been sent to the Corps, and they're initiating a 408 permit on that. That, in fact, what we'll do is raise Harrison Avenue so we don't have to close it with sandbags. Always a good thing. Austin Electric for $26,974. That is the final payment closeout of the generator that we installed at the Burn North Station. So that contract will be closed out. Reith Riley for $158,415 for the Gary South levee, which is a third of our total cost today, and that is a reduction of some $60,000 from what was awarded because of the quantities were a lot less in some cases. We are reimbursing the city of Hammond under our tree program for $58,500. They planted several trees in Rich's Park, which is located at Harrison in the River, Riverside Park, which is between Calumet and Columbia, and then a couple other areas along the river. Dawson is there. Our insurance is there for $12,600. And I'm trying to go through with Patrick Engineering, as I mentioned at our previous meeting as well. That is going on schedule, should be bid out in late fall or early winter for construction, as long as permitting goes okay in the spring of 2018. Other than that, if you see something that you need some clarification.
Bring it back up to the board. Any questions for Mr. Repay on August's claims for 446015.88?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I have a question for Mr. Repay. Mr. Repay, is the city of Hammond, they're not the first ones to get reimbursed for the Hammond tree, right?
No.
I just wanted to see some examples. And what's another location? I just want to write
Let's see.
Was it the city of
North Township?
North Township has taken advantage of it for a couple of years. Winfield has been approved, although they haven't drawn down on the dollars. Munster has. Highland was thinking about adding it, but it's been advertising. When we have those little advisory board meetings where all members of communities, they've been reminded that this is a fixed amount. Maryville's put in, but Maryville's not. One of the criteria that we sort of developed was in public land, and we don't want to put them in private property, like on walk, you know, and there are little easements there between the things. It just gets complicated. So we've asked that they remain in public parks or public areas, so that, especially in the fact that, you know, probably early on in my tenure here, we removed some 3,500 trees. So the additions at Riverside Park for Hammond were needed. But every community is open to every community that wants it, and our budgeted amount is $150,000 for it. So this, I believe, the $58,000 was off the 2016 money. The only 2017 money so far that's been applied for is Wicker Park, and I believe that was $10,000, give or take. And that was a matching. We matched a DNR grant for them. So
did they install it?
Yeah, it's all installed. We don't touch them. We just reimburse them.
Right. I think that was it for me, Mr. Chair.
Anybody else have any questions with regards to the claim for Mr. Repay? Either or none, there's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Clancy.
Yes.
Tom Bassetti.
Yes.
Anthony Brodman.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Lamont.
Yes.
William
Baker. Yes. Paying the bills. Next up is the Executive Director's Report / Project Tracker type thing, Mr. Repay.
We've discussed, during the claims, we discussed Harrison Avenue, where that was, where the Hobart Railroad Bridge. Those are two of the larger projects that we'll face next year for a construction cycle. We also have Kennedy Avenue that we addressed. The Chase Manholes project has been signed and will begin here, hopefully, within the month. That would be the last component of raising the manholes up above the flood level that had caused some issues back in 2008. We had already done them and completed them on Manor and Lyman. We've done them between Harrison and Broadway, and this would be the last one on Chase Street. So there are 9, if I remember correctly, manholes that need to be extended. We awarded that contract to Oros, and he has signed the contract. We've also signed the contract for the Hammond paving between Cabot Avenue and Northcott, which would include the enhanced crossing and probably the more safer crossing of the for the bike trail. We moved the crossing further down by River Drive, so what we've experienced, and I've experienced it just walking it, the wall is so high that if you are walking or driving, the drivers traveling over that bridge, because they've now made it the Siphon Bridge, can't necessarily see the pedestrians, so we've moved the crossing down further away from that intersection so it's safer and no one gets hurt, which is always a good thing. USGS gauges, we've gone forward. We've asked for opinions from not only the the Corps, but also for the Surveyor's Office, as the placement of the new USGS gauge stations that we've discussed a few months ago. We should be getting contracts for those new gauges for the new fiscal year, which I believe begins October 1st. So that is 6 new gauges within the Little Cal watershed. Some are on Deep River, some are on Little Cal proper. The one that's in the river is on Grant Street. Grant Street at our pump station. Beyond that, SCADA system is going. We're talking with the town of Munster and helping them implement a SCADA system for their backup generators. Currently, right now, that they have no system that can determine whether that is running, whether their backup generators are running or not. And to, I guess, work with the Hammond Sanitary District, and their system is a little bit complicated because of the two differing systems, and so we're trying to patch that through so that both parties can get not only their system, whether the pumps are running, but also the backup generators are running. I will leave the in-project mitigation and the Hobart mitigation and state line to Natalie, because otherwise she will have nothing to talk about.
Is that it?
I think so.
All right, any questions for Mr. Repay on what's going on, or the fact that we're only planning on things going on this construction season?
I'd like to point out that with regards to the Gary South levee paving, that contract amount actually, amount remaining would be reduced substantially due to savings and material usage. So it shows we have about $79,000 remaining on contract, but there's actually almost a $62,000 savings on that job, so the contract amount will be reduced.
Golf clap.
Good for the commission, good for the public.
With Dan, with the bridges being raised and that being a significant project, the premise is to remove during an event the need for manpower to throw sandbags. So how many are we looking at saving as it relates to those two bridge elevations? I mean, maybe just once in a while do the recalibration, if you will, on how many sandbags that we're going to have to throw along this, you know, project during a major event, how and what kind of an actual serious issue that is, so we don't have to experience things like 2008 again.
Well, if you look at 2018, and you're right, we are doing a lot of engineering this year as opposed to construction. The construction is basically paving the tops and doing some small projects, but if you take into account the project for 35th and Chase, which are now post and panel closures, which are somewhat complicated and the manpower needed is a little bit much, we're going to remove that. So that's not necessarily sandbags, but that's a considerable structure and one of the first structures that needs to be put in place in the event that we have high water. So that structure will be removed. Harrison Avenue, coupled with us raising the manholes, will better protect IUN, Gilroy Stadium, Gleason Park. So it would be an ish of about 5,000 sandbags there. Now, if you're talking about 33,000, we've already removed Georgia Street out of the equation, which was another couple thousand because that was only a foot closure. The next step for us would be likely, I mean, so if you take those two, the railroad isn't going to stop sandbag, but it's going to help improve the flow of the Deep River. The next logical step, in my opinion, would be to go at Clark Avenue, because Clark Avenue, the way it's designed, the north side closest to Lake Etta is a closure. The south side is not designed as a closure. It is designed to go into high ground, which is the railroad, which we don't have a closure in place. So we would do something similar to, in my opinion, not the engineer here, to raise the road a little bit on Clark Avenue, which would eliminate the closure and eliminate the potential for doing it. So the short answer to your question is I would guess 7,000-8,000 sandbags-ish this year, plus a post and panel. If we design Clark, that could be another couple thousand. When you get into the larger closures, which are Broadway and Grant, those are a lot more expensive projects. There's well, Broadway's a state highway.
Not to raise the, so but not to raise the bridge necessarily, but also just how many hours does it take to throw 1,000 sandbags on some of these places? Is it ish?
I can't give you an answer, but what I can tell you is the last time we were given a warning, which I believe was in May, where we thought the river was expected, and they gave us a very early forecast of this. The city of Gary went and closed the Posted Panel, they closed Harrison, and they closed one other location that escapes me right now, and that took them a half a day. Just because that's a, I mean, you can't keep sandbags laying around because they fall apart. And so to get that, even with a sandbag machine, is a lot of work.
Right, and the premise being that as we change some of the original designs for this project, we're eliminating a lot of those pressure points, if you will, where it requires significant man hours to make this system work the way it was designed.
And Kennedy Avenue will be a classic example as well, without not mentioning that. They're not sandbags because both sides have determined that they want to do the Jersey barriers with the Visqueen over the top and sandbags. It's a more, that's the one that we do in the middle of the night because of the traffic. So when you start improving traffic, which was what, as from the issues of 2008, what was learned was there was no ability to travel north and south in Lake County. You were divided by Little Cal. No business, no economic development is the key word for today, was happening up in the steel mills, the casinos, the refineries. No one that was working south of the river was getting there. There was one way, and I believe that was Klein Avenue.
So nobody's on the Borman either.
Well, and then you send everyone to Ridge Road, and then you have problems. So that's part of it, is to eliminate closures, which will allow to free up people in time during other emergencies to do other things.
Thank you. Anything else for Mr. Repay?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Just for my own edification, I know there's some folks that said they were here from Gary as well. You mentioned the Gary North paving and the project tracker, Gary South. Can you define what those are?
Sure. Gary North is considered, from a geographical standpoint, we consider it Klein Avenue because it actually ties into Klein Avenue. The paving won't occur all the way to Klein Avenue. I believe it will only go to Calhoun. And it goes on the north side of the levee, basically adjacent to 94, all the way up to, it cuts around and goes to Martin Luther King roughly, because it cuts around by Ironwood, which is, Georgia on the north side and Virginia on the south. I think it turns into Virginia on the Virginia on the north side. So it's in the Ironwood section. So that's Gary North. That will all be paved on top, and then the south part has already been paved, and that's from Martin Luther King to Chase Street. So add on to Gary, the in-project mitigation site that Natalie will talk about while I get this video prepared, is the area between Chase Street and roughly Clark Street from the railroad on the south to the river on the north. And that is going to be enhanced to be more of a nature area and an area that we are responsible to make sure that we fix as a part of what we messed up, I guess, when we were constructing this levee before any of us were here. So that's the next project that they'll be doing on behalf of, as a partnership with us.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Repay?
Is there any interest or conversation about improving Clark Road?
Yeah, I mean, the next logical step would be, as I said, for us to improve Clark from, very similar to what we did in Georgia, if you've been out to Georgia, and that is start at a point in the north, rated up, probably, Lake Etta is on your, west side of that location. I think it's 21st. Is that the 29th? Yes, not 21st. 21st on their side of the expressway. And you would start someplace from there, rated up. I don't think you'd raise the bridge so much because it's a pretty expansive crossing, but you can then continue it on to the railroad. I mean, you wouldn't increase the elevation at that area. You may just pave it because it's taking a beating over there, but If you raise that crossing over there, I think it would help protect that area by Lake Etta and those houses, and I think there's a couple churches over there.
So it'd be like just basically an at grade,
more
gradually.
Start a distance, whatever that distance is, whatever the slope is, and then raise it, and then slope it down.
And would you get rid of sandbags there?
You would get rid of sandbag closure. It's not one of the first closures. That's why we didn't really target it initially. We targeted Chase because, you know, at Chase, with those posts and panels, you're protecting the Police and Fire Academy over there. You've got the communication towers over there. You've got the Gary Transportation Center. You've got the Village Shopping Center.
Right.
So that's a lot of stuff. And that's one of the first ones that are going to have to be closed, as according to our plan. Harrison is the same way. Harrison's one of the early ones because it's so low, and then it protects, you know, you've got a lot of houses, you've got the university, you've got a lot of things going on over there. Where Clark has, I mean, they still have some houses, but it's also not one of the first closures that we've got to go take care of. So that's sort of what and how we used our priority list of going, well, what's going to go first? And if we can do it pretty easily, then let's go do it.
Yeah, I just thought since you brought it up, I thought, okay, that's next.
That will probably, I would imagine you would see me coming to you for some sort of engineering.
Next year.
For, you know, late this year, for engineering next year, for building in 19. Because remember, we're going to have a lot of construction going on next year.
Right.
We'll be quite busy with that standpoint.
So Mr. Repay, just for clarification, as opposed to Georgia being designed to flood in that area, Clark Road is not. I thought Clark Road was designed to flood as well.
Clark Road is designed to flood too.
Okay, not Harrison.
Harrison is not. Only certain areas designed to flood between the expressway and the river. It's a small area where Gary Parks has, I don't know what the name of the park is, but there's that 30th Street that runs between Broadway and Harrison.
Yeah.
So it's a smaller area that is impacted, whereas Clark goes from the river south, probably what, a quarter mile or so to the railroad tracks, which is high ground, which is the same way as Chase's design. Chase is designed to flood, but for the posted panel to flood from the river all the way back to those same railroad tracks.
Okay.
Anybody else? All right, moving right along. Next up, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Who's good? Mrs. Mills. Happy August.
Good evening.
Might have to use Dan's.
This one works. Can you hear?
Yep.
Yes. Good evening. Natalie Mills with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Happy August. As we reported at the last meeting, Colonel Drew did retire in July, so at this time I'd like to introduce to you all our new commander, Colonel Aaron Reisinger. So would you like to come up and
welcome, Colonel.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be here. Colonel Aaron Reisinger, as Natalie mentioned, I took command on July 21st, and so I'm getting down here actually tomorrow to look at the locale in detail. Natalie's going to get me out on the river to take a look, and she's getting me up to speed and everything we're going on here. I understand we're coming in at a good time. Things are going well for us, and so fully intend to maintain that momentum, that relationship with the team and everything we have down here in this area. So happy to be part of this team. Anything we can do with our reason, we will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Now I'd like to give you guys an update as far as where we are on the construction. Hobart Marsh Mitigation Contract, they're continuing their operation at the site. They're clearing, mowing, doing earthwork, drain tile disablement, fence and gates. I think you have their construction progress report, so you can see. Oh, okay.
What construction progress for the Hobart State
Line? Is that from the one we had at 26?
I mean, we updated a little bit.
All right. I'm sorry. Oh.
2 weeks ago. But I know you all have them. So you can see their progress. I will update you on a couple of contract modifications. There is a pending modification for additional gullies that were located in the Hobart area. It's termed a different site condition. They weren't aware that those gullies were there until after they began the clearing operations. There are about four of them. Approximate value, $50,000 increase to the contract. That hasn't been...
Total or each?
Total. So we're still working with the contractor on that one. And also we do have, and we did execute a credit in the amount of $13,000 on the 1st of August, and that was for some fencing changes that we made, reduced some of the linear foot on some fencing, added some gates, and that resulted in a net credit. The Hammond Tyvek contractor, so they have completed the line of protection and completed both the earthen levee and the concrete portion. They completed the earthwork on the 31st of July. So at this point, they're going to be grading and doing some topsoil starting next week. They did place some topsoil that they need to do some grading work on it in preparation of the seeding. They're planning to install the stop logs the week of the 28th. And they are planning to submit as-built drawings, so it's by the end of this week, for both the earthen levee as well as the concrete. So we'll be in a good position. Once those as-built drawings are approved, we'll be ready to submit to FEMA for the loan application.
When do you think that'll take place? Target date?
I mean, depending on if the contractor actually gives us the as-built drawings, we typically have a 30-day review period. So after that process, and it's approved, then we'll be able to. If the as-built drawings are in order, you know, it depends on how good they're drawn.
So we're shooting to submit to FEMA by
October?
Yeah, I would say October. And that was the only outstanding piece that we received comments from FEMA. The end project mitigation that Dan referenced, that is a 65 acres of mitigation that we are going to be performing. We did post that package for bids on the 31st of July. We anticipate that bids will be due on the 31st of August, and we're doing a contract award by the 30th of September. That contract was set aside for a small business. So not any particular pubs on or, you know, women owned, so just small business in general.
Where's that located again, Mrs. Mills?
It's at Chase and Clark. So like in the Black Oak area.
And the approximate value?
The current working estimate is approximately $1.5 million.
And if we go back to state lines, you said the stop logs are going to be installed. Are we going to remove them then after fit up and store them?
I believe the plan is to store them at the Hammond Public Works because they'll be responsible to install them. I think that was the plan.
That's my understanding as well. So we'll you know, they have to install them, make sure,
sure.
Test them, and then we'll remove them and hand them over.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Mrs. Mills?
Yes, I have one. I'm just curious, on the contract that's going out for bid, you mentioned just small business. I'm just curious. I thought that the government and programs, federal government programs, require minority participation, and I like to input at least 10 or 15%. I'd like to know, does that exist on this contract?
So that's for large businesses.
Uh-huh.
So for small businesses, no. They don't have the same minority goals included in theirs.
Hmm. Is there amount specified on this particular contract?
Say that again.
Is there amount specified?
No.
No?
Just not for small business,
it?
No. Okay. Only that's limited to large businesses. We identified that they have to have 15%, as you mentioned, minority participation.
Right.
We'll certainly encourage it. And we don't know, there might be a minority company that gets it. Because it's open to small business, so it could be a woman-owned, it could be HUBZone.
Sure.
It could be any of those socioeconomic.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mrs. Mills.
Thank you.
Colonel, welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you.
All right, next up is video time. Dan? 2 minutes, I thought.
Yeah, but you want to do it?
No,
you can take care of that little video at the last part.
All right. So we'll skip then, move the proposal for the video up to the bottom. Next up is other issues, new business.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve Resolution 2017-07 for the interlocal agreement with the City of Crown Point for the Sowerman Woods Drainage Study and Design in the amount of $200,000.
Second. There's a motion and a second. Some discussion. Mr. Repay, a little background, please.
At the July 26th meeting, everyone except for Commissioner Broadus was there and approved these applications. This is a legal matter that we have to also pass a resolution and interlocal agreement that that community or that entity must sign. That would hold true for Lake Station, Lake County, and then depending on what happens with Griffith, that would hold true with them. So these are the same projects that were presented to this board probably March, April, probably at the April meeting, and they've now come full circle.
And just to add to that as a little background for everybody, what we've strived to do is engage all of the communities within the watershed and do interlocal agreements with those communities to work on the projects within the confines of their municipality. That way, everybody has a little bit of skin in the game. We all participate together, but it all feeds up into a common goal. So that's the premise of the interlocal agreements. So there's a motion and a second, a little discussion. Any other questions for Mr. Repay on that? Either none. Mrs. Lambert?
Yes.
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 Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve Resolution 2017-08, an interlocal agreement with the City of Lake Station for the stormwater management plan watershed application in the amount of $80,000.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay, real quick, watershed application.
Lake Station hasn't had a stormwater management plan. The new mayor thought that would be a good idea. They applied. Now they will or should have one like every other community has one.
And just as a bless you, and just as a little background, also Lake Station is at the is a confluence, a good way of saying, for Deep River. So everything that really starts in Crown Point through Winfield, all of Hobart and Merrillville flows through downtown Hobart into Lake Station, and they don't have a stormwater plan. So that was the premise of working through that. So any questions with regards to that, gentlemen? Mrs. Lambert?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve Resolution 2017-9, an interlocal agreement with the Lake County Board of Commissioners for Hermits Lake Sanitary Infiltration and Intrusion Project for the amount of $317,480.
Second. Motion and a second. Mr. Repay, same thing.
I agree.
Okay. Any questions about what that is? Basically, what we're going to be doing is taking care of another deferred maintenance issue that's been grossly left behind, causing significant flooding down in that portion of the watershed. Going to try to help everybody start cleaning up some of these past ills. Yes,
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Repay, I missed the July meeting, and I've slept since April. Is this the one where there was a small community in Southwood County that actually had their own
correct
water?
Okay.
And it became too much. Yeah, it went defunct and all of that. Okay.
And just so you know, just as we talked about, we're doing a lot of planning on our side, but other communities, as you can see, are doing the actual work, and we are trying to address some of the problems that affect those communities.
And just as a background, also, we engage them under the premise of where the water comes into the projects they're proposing in front of us, where it goes after they're finished, to make sure we're taking into consideration not moving a problem from A to B, if you will. Any other questions on this one? Mrs. Lambert?
Yes.
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 Yes. Coming right along.
Mr. Chairman, I request that we make a motion to go going to accept a watershed application for the town of Griffin in the amount of $250,644,000.
There's a motion, is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay?
So early on in my tenure here, this had always come up as one of the weak links in the system, although not a part of our federal program or federal project, still a levy that was less than what everything else is around it. And there was discussion of who's to design it. Griffith took the lead on the design of this levy and some options that they may want to pursue. And so this would be reimbursing them for the amount of $250,644.
And where is this again? This is the old, on the north end of the old Colonial Golf Course, right? East of...
It's between Balkmatic and the old Griffith / Centennial Golf Course between Klein Avenue and the railroad tracks.
That's Centennial. What do I call it? Colonial. I haven't golfed in a long time.
It's been closed a long time.
It's been closed.
All right, so it's in Griffith, east of Klein. All right, any questions, comments?
Just a point of reference, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
At the July board meeting, this particular motion failed as presented. Therefore, you cannot present the same motion that has once failed before. You have to change some, modify it in some way in order for it to be approved because it has failed already, the identical motion.
Mr. Wicklund, is that true?
I don't believe the motion failed. It was an abstention, and so therefore...
The motion didn't pass.
But it wasn't an affirmative or a negative. It was an abstention.
But in the minutes...
So it's different than a
in the minutes, it's recorded as failed. And because in the minutes, it's recorded as failed, you would have to modify the motion and...
Next month.
Yeah.
I didn't bring my Robert's rules with me, but generally speaking, if it's an abstention, it doesn't matter. I would take a vote today, frankly, and if it passes, I'll take a look and verify the motion is appropriate or not.
Okay, wait, Mr. Wicklund, so with that being said, and there's some concern, are we having to make a new motion with the contingency of this Robert's rule?
I would say that's a fair assessment.
And I would say rather than prolong that, instead to modify the existing motion, Mr. Chair, whether you change the amount by 1 cent, one way or the other, to make the motion appropriate, since the other one is identical, since the existing motion is identical to the one that failed already.
So, into the commissioner who made the motion, Mr. Castellanos.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we again accept the application from the town of Griffin for the Griffin Levy Certification Preliminary Engineering.
And are we going to make a modification to it so that we can please?
I think what Commissioner Whitaker is saying is if you make the motion and add the amount of $250,643.99 or $643, that would suffice, I think, his question.
Okay.
And that. So I think if you added a different amount, just $1 less, I think it would move the process.
That's
right.
Okay. I'll make the motion. Mr. Chairman, I make the motion that we accept the application from the town of Griffin for Griffin Levy Certification Preliminary Engineering in the amount of $250,643.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion with regards to this? Either or not, Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
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 Mr. Chairman, Make a motion that we accept the resolution 2017-10 and enter local agreement with the town of Griffin in the amount of $250,643,000.
Being efficient, there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
This is a resolution with what we just passed for efficiency purposes. Any discussion? Mrs. Lambert?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up on the agenda is watching Mr. Repay trying to get his video to work, which I'm anxious to see.
What's the odds, over under?
I give you...
I've got a lot of smart people in the audience, and I'm going to bank on you.
A lot of smart people in the room, without a doubt. 2 minutes, it's the over under. Wait, I have a technology here, so we have to put... That includes lights, screens...
Get moving, let's go.
Wait, where's my stopwatch? I'm even giving you some extra time.
2 minutes.
Nobody fall down, so it stops. 15 seconds. All right, we moved on.
What do you have?
All right, while Dan plays with the computer, we're going to move on to the statements to the board from the floor. If you would like to help us work on our technical issues or other flood control type things, please come to the podium and state your name and address for the record, and please help.
I'm not here to help.
I need a new computer.
I mean, I couldn't tell by that boat anchor you're working with. Yes, ma'am.
Just want to let you know I can't help you.
Excellent timing. I was hoping there was a quip.
My name is Evangeline Stanford. I live in Hammond, and I'm one of those families that's still in the flood zone and paying flood insurance. And from what I heard today, it sounds like nothing's going to happen until October. Is that correct?
I would say that the earliest it will be sending something to FEMA will be October. And then however long their process is, I can't speak to their process, how long before they issue, the mask.
So with winter coming, are we rolling into another year worth of flood insurance payments? This thing is dragging on for
just out of curiosity, ma'am, without, divulging your personal finances, just give us an ish.
Of what I pay?
Yes.
I've actually been able to cut mine down a little bit, and now I pay probably about $1,800, and that's with a reduction.
Yes, ma'am.
So it's every year they seem to be trying to raise it a little bit, and I'm fighting to keep it pretty steady. But I've been here 10 years now, and this I've been hearing about the being corrected for the last 6. And I'm just trying to get a handle on when we think this is actually going to occur, because it sounds like it's a never-ending project. And I'm hoping that we can guesstimate maybe by next year it might be done, or are we looking at 2 more years? I mean, I need to have some kind of an idea.
Only because you already submitted the addition to the preliminary paperwork, and the only thing they said was the final thing promised to us was submit the as-built drawing.
And then what's the next step? Are there steps after that? So this is the last step?
Yeah, this is it.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Right.
Okay.
So however long it takes them should actually complete the loan line. They should be pretty close.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if there were other steps that follow this piece.
No,
but we're getting there, then.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir.
John Beckman, Catalyst Co. Consulting. Just a question, is there any progress on the contract relation with a wetlands initiative?
You repeat the question. No, repeat the question. I think I know where he's going, but if he could repeat the question.
Is there any progress with the contract development with a wetlands initiative?
Is that different from the 65-acre
yes.
wetland mitigation project already we're doing?
So the Wetlands Initiative, as well as the Audubon Society of Chicago, has approached us about looking at places where they want to enhance wetlands. And that's where it stands. They don't want to buy the land. They don't want to lease the land.
They just want to do the wetland work.
They just want to improve it.
Or they want us to improve it.
I don't know, ask him.
They probably want to improve it with our backing of some sort. They probably have some funding mechanism. We never got into those details. They just wanted to get a tour of the places that they thought were doable, and that's it.
Okay.
So when do you expect to hear more development between you and them?
Well, generally, if they want something from this commission, they come here. So we're just in talking. We're sort of like dating right now. So nothing serious. We're not getting engaged yet.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
Good evening. Eric Sprenant, the Highland resident, member of the Paddling Club and the Bicycling Club. I'd like to bring several flow issues to you. Mr. Baker, you commented about the need for continued maintenance. About 2 weeks ago, we had a high water event on the river. It came up quite significantly. And as I ride my bicycle along the levee trail, I did notice that the, I believe it's called the high velocity channel where Hart Ditch flows into the river. The water was high enough to fill up that channel, but that channel is full of shrubs, baby trees.
Those are called wetlands.
Well, if the purpose of the channel is to move water, stuff growing up in the channel impedes the flow of water.
Yes, it does.
And in a similar vein, from about Northcott, heading west towards the state line, a couple of years ago, many, many trees were removed. In place of those trees, there's a lot of shrubbery growing. So instead of a tree that's a couple feet in diameter, you have a shrubs that are 10, 15 feet in diameter. And I can't help but think in the case of an extreme flood again, those would also impede flow. And number three flow issue is the Norfolk Southern tracks between the Boulevard and Kennedy. There's a lot of logs there.
Always.
And that is a definite choke point.
Yes.
Okay, just those comments.
Thank you for bringing those up. Those are ongoing places, and we'll always have those types of challenges throughout the system. So thank you for bringing this. We need all the help we can get identifying those.
Okay, and one final request to, again, since I believe the enacting legislation for the flood control project mandates recreational amenities as well, I would like to bring up again the need for the levee trail system to go over the Canadian National Tracks.
Interesting.
You have very nice levee trails, both to the east and to the west, but there's no connection. It would be great if you guys would work on that in the years to come.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Emmanuel Smith. I'm with Gary resident, and I'm here to support of the Tobin development. Just mentioned in your minutes, they want to purchase some property around 35th and Chase. This project could employ as many as up to 500 employees, and that would be a great economic stimulus to Gary and really the whole Northwest Indiana. So I just want to encourage you as a board to really look at supporting that venture. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? All right, bring it back here. Let everybody say their piece. Mr. Wicklund, I'll start this way.
Nothing to add.
Mr. Whitaker.
Very briefly, it's good to see folks coming out with the summer winding down and the participation from folks who are yet concerned about flood control in Northwest Indiana. And I hope that the information that has been shared, I know we missed a month here in the Munster area, so some of you that didn't join us last month at Lake Station, where we had a very brief meeting. There's a lot of activity, as you can see, on the agenda, and from applications being approved, and then with the project tracker that Mr. Repay made reference to, we got a lot of projects that are going on and that are in the planning and development stages. So I ask everyone to continue to just, continue to voice your concerns. And like Mr. Sprague came out in support and vocalized the three areas of concern. It's very helpful for us, and it gives us a lot of guidance and support as well. I'm glad to see that we're making progress in the areas that across the levee in Northwest Indiana, and I want to urge the commissioners to continue to spring forward with our charge to improve the levee, not limited to the levee with the watershed. Of course, but everything that can be done, whether it's recreation, economic development, in addition to improving the levee as the primary objective, everything secondary is also paramount as well. So that'd be all for me, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Wyszlinski.
Happy to see people are keeping an eye on things, Eric. We encourage people up and down the levee, if you see something, let us know right away, because then we can address it faster, because we can't be everywhere all the time, but appreciate that.
Mr. Gazdecki?
Nothing.
Mr. Brodnix?
Yeah, I would just encourage, especially those folks in the Hammond area who are still paying high levels of flood insurance, to keep your chin up. We are really getting towards the end. This whole LOMAR process probably sheds about 9 to 12 months off the process as it would have been if we hadn't done that. So that's helpful. Would also recommend not eliminating your flood insurance, but once the flood, the zone letter changes, then of course it'll be a quarter of what you pay now.
Thank you. Mr. Castellanos.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I wanted to say a second to Colonel Reisinger, welcome aboard. Looking forward to working with you. Also, just want to let you know that we have a radio program the second Monday of every month, a WLTH radio station. And I'd like to extend you and Mrs. Mill an invitation to appear on the radio with us, and I'll be in contact with you, because all of North Louisiana would like to hear what you have to say and what are the progress that you've done. And we've had Colonel Drew on before, and he did a great job, and it was fantastic. Also, I just wanted to also say that the fact that regards to the gentleman from the City of Gary on the Tobin Project, that right now that particular issue is in the hands of our legal counsel, and we as the commission members are very looking forward to it, hoping that maybe there'd be some positive results for all of Gary and Northwest Indiana. And second, we also had Spiros Protestantos, who was the director, executive director for the Lakeshore, South Shore Visitors Association on a radio program. And because of the projects that we've completed on the watershed program, he's looking and requesting individuals to conduct paddling tours, because we opened up bike tours, and also looking for individuals to generate any kind of tours for recreation development, because we have so many species of birds and animals. I mean, it's like being in the forest when you go up along the watershed. So just wanted to put that out there. If anybody wants to contact him, he's looking forward to somebody to work with him and develop that kind of a program. Thank you.
All right.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. The radio program is WLTH 1370 AM. Thank you. Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Mr. Repay.
In order to increase traffic to our website, you can anticipate seeing the video that you wish you saw tonight. Tomorrow.
So next month we'll have 26 visits on the website instead of 11.
And we're going to put in a motion to give everyone brand new technology, because evidently that's broke. So I'm done.
Mrs. Lambert, what about you? Are you sure? I don't like
she agrees.
Other than calling everybody's name. No? Okay. All right, next meeting is second Wednesday of the month, which is the 12th of September. If you haven't signed up for email blasts, those come out. We try to go on the road, but home base is still the town of Munster. We'll try to keep things moving along and look for Dan's video. Accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thanks, everybody. Have a safe summer.